Hello, everybody, and welcome
to Ghoul Society.
That's my little sister, Sarah.
And that's my big sister, Jamie.
We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wisanich peoples whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests on this land, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
What up?
Well,
it's Sunday and we're both exhausted.
I overdid it on the weekend. I had too much picnic, as Mom would say.
Yeah.
Too much picnic.
Oh my.
But yesterday I went on a hike to Mount Work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my friend and he was like, well, I want to like maybe do a 10K or a half marathon. I was like, oh, maybe me too. And then he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to sign up for the one in the fall. And I was like, oh, is that the TC 10K? And he was like, yes. I was like, let's do it. So now I'm it's pressuring not... you too. Oh.
The TC 10K is in April.
Okay. Don't be mad about it.
Bro, we went over this last time.
Oh. What's the one in the fall? Oak Bay?
No, that's in May. The one in the fall is the Royal Victoria Marathon. Half marathon and 8K.
Right. I see. Well, 8K. I could do it.
Yeah, I'll do the 8K. They keep sending me emails. They're like, you better sign up.
Okay.
You better sign up.
You want to forward me one of those emails?
I've just been deleting them. You just sign in. You just like do it
through their
website. But yeah, I'll do the 8K again.
Why are you making that face? Is it expensive?
Well, yeah, it's like $80.
Mm.
That's like cheap.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm it does cost quite a bit.
We could just like run an 8K and then put a pin on each other.
I mean, yeah.
But I guess you get like a t-shirt and a little medal.
Yeah,
do you get a medal?
Yep.
Okay, I could do an 8K medal.
I got 3 medals now.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I wish I knew where my other medals are.
Yeah, Jamie used to be a triathlete.
Barely. I did 2 in my life.
Yeah, but
back in the day.
That's really impressive.
Thanks. They were small. They weren't like the Iron Man style ones. They were like...
No, but...
The regular size one, which is actually a lot shorter than a lot of people think. And then there was like the sprint version too, which is like half that.
Right.
But yeah, they're good. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. I miss swimming.
Yeah.
I would like to get back into
swimming. I actually think I would really like swimming too.
Maybe we go swimming.
Okay.
At the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to wait till my tattoo heals.
Oh, yeah. It looks good. Thanks. I love it. Yeah, it's so pretty.
It's really itchy right now.
Ooh, yeah. Have you been putting cream on it or not yet?
Yeah. It's really flaky though, so, you know, it's really gross.
I really want a tattoo, but it's not really the season to get one.
Here's the thing. This is what happens.
What?
And I'm gonna name drop you. Emma. Emma always comes to visit. We love Emma. She's coming. She always comes to visit. And then we always just get tattoos every time.
Yeah, I do like that.
So we went to Fern Fest and then.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How was it? I heard it was like crazy busy and really
hot. It was way too busy. Montana bought me a really cute freshwater pearl necklace.
Aww.
And Emma got a necklace with a pearl on it.
Cute.
And then we got mini donuts and hot dogs, or corn dogs.
Yeah.
And they have those corn dogs where the outside is potato.
Oh.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, it's really good.
Really?
Yeah, it's like chopped up cubed potatoes.
Oh, like smushed on.
Is
and
the
then
outside.
Like deep fried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, I could see that. I could fuck with that.
And then we walked downtown and then... We were like, let's get a tattoo. Why not? And then we went to Lucky Fortune. We walked into Lucky Fortune. It was one of my best tattoo experiences.
I love that.
As in just like
shout so out Lucky chill. Fortune.
Yeah. So we walk in, there's three of us. There's three guys. They're just doodling. We're like,
we all want tattoos.
They're like, oh, let us know if you have any questions. And we were just like, do you guys have any clients? And they're like, no. We were like, fuck, too easy, bro.
That's meant to be.
And then we all kind of just fell in love with each other.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
It was really cute.
That's so cute.
Yeah. We had such a great time with them.
Wow. Okay.
It was so fun.
Fuck yeah. I want to get one.
Yeah.
I want to go to Lucky Fortune.
Yeah.
What if I just do that today?
Do it.
I hit therapy and then I hit a tattoo after. That's crazy.
That's a good combo.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the chances of us getting another tattoo when Emma comes back in a couple of weeks are very high.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's so funny. How much did it cost for that one that you
mine?
Just got?
Yeah. $140.
Okay, that's a good price.
Yeah.
Because I feel like tattoos are kind of crazy these days.
Yeah.
Was it like a flash price or was it by the hour price?
So they have a studio flat rate of $100.
Mm.
So if it's under an hour, it's $100.
Right. Yeah. I like that.
Mine was, like an hour, 20 minutes, an hour and a half.
Nice.
Maybe. Montana's was 2.5 hours because it's huge.
Do you have a picture of it?
Oh yeah,
I didn't see his.
Oh, I didn't send you a photo of it.
No,
he got a griffin.
What? That's so cool.
Yeah, it looks sick on his forearm.
Whoa, holy shit.
Yeah,
that is fucking huge. Oh my God, that's so pretty.
Yeah,
on the
right?
Backside. Owie.
Yeah, and this is like on his elbow. Yeah.
Okay, that's fucking gorgeous, though.
It was only $230.
Wow.
Yeah. And Emma got these really, really cute strawberries. I wish I had a photo. But aww, they're, like, so adorable.
I want strawberry tattoo.
They all did. Like, all the artists were so great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Love it.
So.
Love that for you.
Yeah, anyway,
I guess we should get started. We're kind of on a time crunch. Also, happy solstice.
Oh, yeah, happy solstice.
I hope that you had a beautiful, lovely solstice and you're able to go outside and thank the earth for existing.
Yeah.
And do some witchy magic. Do some magic.
Yeah.
Just do it.
And then also, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Oh, is that today?
I'm pretty sure it's today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll text you. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Happy Father's Day, you. Dad. And happy just Parents' Day in general.
Yes.
You know?
That's right.
Good job, parents.
Good
you
job.
You guys have a tough life.
I feel like being a parent is beautiful.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And
no,
also
is.
Challenging, obviously.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right. Guys, are you ready?
I'm scared. Is it scary?
It's not scary.
Okay.
It's true crime. So.
That is scary.
It's not scary. It's cool.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any guesses?
It's cool and not scary.
And it's not in North America. It's across the pond.
And it's cool?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I don't have any guesses, no.
Okay. Today, we're talking about the 40 elephants, also known as the 40 thieves.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of this.
What are the 40 thieves?
I don't know. Jack, Timmy, Tommy.
No. Big no.
Oh.
They were an all-female crime family in London.
Oh, cool. Fuck yeah.
They're known to be active between the 19th and 20th centuries, but rumors say they may have begun as early as the late 18th century. They operated out of South London, namely the Elephant and Castle area, and were allied with the notorious Men's Elephant and Castle gang.
Cool.
The 40 Elephant Syndicate was known for shoplifting expensive stores within London's West End and all over the country. It's likely that the 40 Elephants are a subsect of the male gang named the 40 Thieves. As throughout history, there's been mentions of young women being accomplices to crimes committed by the 40 Thieves, as long as early as 1828. The earliest mention of the, I'll probably say 40 thieves, 40 elephants interchangeably because they're known as both.
Yeah. All good.
The earliest mention of the 40 elephants in newspapers dates to around 1873, but police records go beyond that. So it's difficult to pinpoint how old the gang actually is. Like, we're talking about 1860s.
Right. Mm-hmm. Damn.
The first members of the gang wore modified clothing that had hidden pockets in their coats, cloaks, skirts, bloomers, and hats.
Fuck yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love a hidden pocket.
Yeah. So they dressed very nicely, like wealthy women.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going into these rich-ass stores. They gotta look the part. Hiding their stolen goods and their clothes was called clouting, or to clout.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. While the name 40 Thieves or 40 Elephants is rumored to be referencing the number of gang members, it's unlikely that there were that many members at any given time. In reality, it's more accurate that there are around 15 core members.
Right, at a given and then time. Some just like would come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With that said, there were many accounts of different gangs going by the name of 40 Thieves within Britain and America. Notably, the 40 Thieves gang in New York City and the Kent Street 40 Thieves in Glasgow in 1868. So this is a really popular name. Don't know why. Maybe they were all like, hey, let's all go by the same name. And then
no one knows which
gang you're a part of.
Who's who.
They
thought it was cool and they wanted to be cool.
They're like, I like that name.
Yeah, yeah.
During this time, 40 Thieves was often used in reference to people who committed similar crimes and were tied to the same gang. So even if people weren't in a gang and they were shoplifting, they were like, you're in the 40 Thieves.
Yes.
Also, it's a Victorian era, you know. They loved labels, much like society today. And everyone was always categorizing different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, starting at this time is when people started being categorized as criminals. Before, they were just, I don't know, shitheads or something. But now it's, like, so many people, you know?
Yeah.
Crime's really popping off.
Crime?
In the 1800s.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And it's thought that people piled into the 40 Thieves' name were more petty thieves than... What we think of when we think of, like, a gang or gangsters.
Right. Also, I just had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why did so much more crime happen in the 1800s? But maybe it was because, like, that's part of the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were less jobs available because more factories and machines were taking over jobs. And then people are really like, fuck, we need more money.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to make money? We just lost our job. And so... I theorize that as the world gets crazier with AI and we lose more jobs, we're going to have more crime. The crime is going to go
up. Shit.
Yeah, that's my theory. Makes sense. Maybe it's not even that wild of a theory. I think it's just accurate.
Yeah. I kind of talk about that in a little bit.
Okay, tell me.
Well, not yet.
Oh.
It's suspected that the first leader of the 40 Elephants... female syndicate was a woman named Mary Carr. Her involvement with the gang began in the mid-1870s when she was only around 12 years old.
Yeah, shit. Yeah. Born into a gang, never to be free again.
Yeah.
That's really sad, actually. That's just a baby.
Well, I think they just, like, took her in.
Oh, I see. Okay. She was maybe like an orphan or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So she moved her way up
the
hierarchy until she became a right-hand member and then leader of the syndicate. Throughout her reign, she became known as the Queen of the 40 Thieves, and her home on Stamford Street was used as their headquarters for some time.
Cool.
Around 1888, Stamford Street was known as one of the most sordid and ugliest streets in all of London.
Shit.
Yeah. People were like, ew.
Ew, I did not want to live there.
And also during this time, Mary was dating the leader of the Elephant Castle gang, Alf Gorman, and together they ran London's underground crime world.
Damn, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Or bad. Or
isn't it?
Depending on how you want to think about
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mary was a known jewel thief who would go into hotels into the West End of London, likely to break into guest rooms and steal their jewelry while they were out on the town. And she was known to be very charismatic and had many aliases like Mary Krantz, Polly Carr, Eva Jackson, Anne Leslie. And apparently she became so famous that she claimed to be the model for multiple famous paintings, including Frederick Leighton and Dorothy Tennant's 1895 piece titled The Maid with the Yellow Hair.
Hmm.
Even though from prison records it said that Mary had brown hair, but I'll show you the painting.
Yeah, I wonder if I'll recognize it.
I was thinking you might.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so that's supposed to be Mary Carr.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't really look like she actually has blonde hair. It looks kind of brown.
Brown?
It's just in the sunlight.
Yeah. But it's called The Maid with the Yellow Hair.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
who knows? That's crazy.
The alternate title is The Maid with Golden Hair.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like a metaphor.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Cool. So that was her?
Supposedly, yeah.
She's so pretty.
I know. The women in 40 Elephants would actually dress up as housemaids often for wealthy families, and they would be like, they would be hired, and then they would just steal all their shit.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's actually crazy.
So then it's kind of funny that Mary is modeled, like, is the model for this painting made with the yellow hair.
Yeah, because then that painting was probably in wealthy people's houses.
Well, that, and also they were pretending to be maids.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah. So Mary was the leader of the 40 Elephants until around 1896 when she did something really bad.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah.
Mary.
I don't know the full story here.
Mary, quite contrary.
Mm-hmm. She went to jail for abducting a young boy named Michael.
Oh, that's fucked up, Mary.
At a horse racetrack. And so I don't know exactly what happened, but what I do know is that Michael went missing. He was then found with Mary in her home on Stamford Street, and
not good.
Yeah. So Mary was tried before a jury at the good old Bailey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everything comes back to the old Bailey.
Mm-hmm. But with her experienced defense counsel, because she's fucking rich at this point.
Right.
From stealing shit.
Yeah, of course.
Her experienced defense counsel and Michael's mother being an apparent, quote, unreliable witness in court, end quote.
Interesting.
A lesser charge of harboring and detaining a child was set into motion, and Mary was given 3 years in prison.
I have so many questions. Like, did she already know this kid, or was it random?
So. I think it was okay. Random.
So it wasn't like, I know you, and I know that you have a bad life, and I'm gonna, like, save you.
Well, I don't know, because it could have also been, like, why is this little boy at the racetrack all alone?
Mm.
Well, I mean, not really, because people didn't really care about their kids like that.
No. No, they really didn't.
But it could have been like...
Like, was it the intention?
Maybe he needed help or something?
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe he needed to be, like, fed or bathed or, I don't know.
Because the articles that I was reading said that his mom was unreliable.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe he had a shit
life.
Yeah. I don't know.
And like bad parents. Yeah, it's tough. I want to believe that, but maybe Mary's just like kind of fucked up.
Yeah. But that's the only mention of her ever doing any that I saw anything with like children like that or abduction, like in general. It was mainly just shoplifting and then in a minute I'm going to talk about some other things that they did, but it was like with adults. Like, it was against adults.
Yeah. Interesting.
So,
interesting.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
So, she was given 3 years in prison. She was released, actually, after 2 years in 1898. So during, while Mary's in prison, she's thought to have been succeeded by a member named Minnie Duggan. But after Mary was released from Aylesbury Prison, she resumed her position as leader. So many people believe that Minnie was only filling in for Mary while she was in prison.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Good member.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone needs to be in charge.
Yeah. In August of 1900, Mary, under the alias of Crane, was charged with larceny along with an associate named Charles Harvey. They were both, and I think Charles was a member of the Elephant and Castle gang.
Mm, yeah.
But I don't actually know. Because they were kind of like Elephant and Castle gang and the 40 elephants were like BFFs and they were all like dating each other.
Yeah, probably. They probably had wild parties with sex and booze and crazy drugs.
Yeah, probably. Were like the drugs absinthe. Crazy, though? Everybody was doing cocaine.
That's true. They were probably having a lot of absinthe.
Yeah. So they were both charged with robbing multiple West End hotels, and they were found guilty of stealing a diamond and pearl brooch, gold cufflinks, and a very expensive watch.
Oop. Oopsie.
Oh, did I do my... While Charles was given 5 years of prison time, Mary received 20 months.
Wait, that's crazy.
Her defense counsel was like, absolutely not.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's so crazy.
In the newspapers of the time, Mary was described as a, quote, good-looking thief, end quote.
Of course.
And her crimes with Charles were described as romantic in nature, akin to like what we would think of Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Except this was before, like 30 years before Bonnie and Clyde.
They're the OG Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, kind of.
So romantic. So, babe, let's go steal things together.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it makes sense. You get like such an adrenaline rush, I'm sure, and like endorphins and... I wouldn't. I would have a fucking panic attack.
Yeah.
But people who like that, like, are kind of, like, kleptomaniacs.
Yeah.
Like, and to do that with another person.
Yeah.
Like, that would be so much energy.
Yeah.
Like, crazy, wild, like, in love energy.
Yeah, it would be. So, Mary is, like, in and out of prison a lot. I don't know how the fuck she keeps getting caught. She's kind of bad. I'm like, girl, what? So between 1905 and 1906, there's another leader of the 40 Elephants. Her name was Helen Sheen, but people used to call her Fair Helen. But even Helen was caught by the police because she drugged a man and she stole from him.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, so they're...
Because they're also like not using aliases?
But some of them are. Some of them aren't though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
And so, you know, they're all in and out of prison all of the time. Mary Carr was eventually released from prison. And at some point, she moved to Manchester and stopped living her crime life. And she died in 1924.
Damn.
Yeah.
What? That's so sad.
I know.
Wait, how do you spell her last name?
C-A-R-R.
Like Emily Carr?
Yeah.
Are they related?
I don't know.
Wait, actually,
it could be. Is Emily Carr from England?
Yeah.
Well, I assumed she was, but I don't know a lot about Emily
Carr. I mean, there's probably a lot of Carrs.
Emily Carr and Mary Carr.
Dude, that would be so crazy. I mean, Mary's also a really common name, too. Yeah. So.
I don't see Mary on the Carr family
tree.
But you never know. Could be a cousin.
Could be. I know.
So, starting from 1915, the gang had a new leader. Her name was Alice Diamond.
Ooh, cool name.
I know, right?
Damn.
She was also known as Diamond Annie. Mm. And also later, people started to call her the Queen of the 40 Elephants.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn.
Alice was no stranger to crime growing up, as her father had multiple criminal convictions. Like, at one time, he, like, beat the shit out of some, like, political person or something. Yeah. Kind of bad. Alice was the eldest of 7 children.
Oh my god, that's so many children.
I know. And she wasn't the only one to be a gang member. One of her younger sisters, Louisa, also joined the 40 Thieves gang, and her brother Tommy joined the Elephant and Castle gang, which probably helped continue to strengthen the two gangs' relationship.
Yeah.
So Alice began shoplifting in 1912 when she stole some chocolate from a shop in London with her friends, and she was like, oh, I love this feeling.
Wait, how old was she then?
I don't really know when she was born.
Got it.
So it's really hard to find out when these people were born and when they died.
We can assume she was probably young.
Yeah, because even with the other main leader, Mary, the date of birth that she gave to the prison was a younger age than what people actually, than her actual date of birth.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, who actually knows?
Yeah, and there's like not ID or anything.
No.
They're just like, tell us.
They're just like, this is when I was born. Tell us
your name and when you were born and where you live.
Yeah.
She's like, my name is Sam. I was born like, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They're like, okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
We believe you.
Mm-hmm. I think like Alice started stealing probably when she was probably born around 1900.
Yeah.
That's my guess, because if she started, or stealing no, in because no, because she wouldn't be leading the gang in 1915.
At 15 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe she was 18 though.
Yeah, could have been. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It said that Alice was a skillful leader and good at organizing multiple hits at the same time across London and into outer city areas when London became too hot with police activity.
Mm.
The most common items that Alice would steal from luxury stores were fur coats and silks.
Yeah.
Her right-hand member was Maggie Hill, who was born into a North London crime family. And she was sister to a man named Billy Hill, who would become known as the boss of Britain's underworld.
Whoa.
Yeah. So these people are on the up and up. Alice was the leader of the 40 Elephants until 1926, so like about 10 years almost, when she went on trial for starting a riot against a rival gang.
Hell yeah.
It's said that when Alice was ruling the gang, they began to be known as the 40 Elephants, and that is when it was being used interchangeably with the 40 Thieves. But I don't know. There's a lot of, like, this is when they started being called this. No, this is when they started being called this.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to say. Despite many members of the 40 Elephants serving prison time on and off, like I had mentioned earlier, they believed the risk of getting caught was worth it because their only alternative was a life of poverty in 1900s London.
Yeah, exactly.
Adding to this thought is the fact that prison sentences were often quite short in the scheme of things, usually 12 months labor or 3 years of normal imprisonment.
Right. And then at least they have a roof over their head and food.
Yeah, right. Around the early 1900s, around 35% of Londoners lived in poverty. There was a population boom in the 1800s, which drove an influx of people into the city searching for work, money, and a home.
Right.
And this influx brought about many slums that were overcrowded, dirty, and filled with disease due to the conditions.
Yeah, gross.
The worst areas of the city were Whitechapel, of course, where the famous Jack the Ripper senselessly murdered 5 women in late 1888, Devil's Acre in Westminster, and St. Giles Rookery, to name a few.
I'm just realizing there's a place, I think maybe it's in Whitechapel or maybe it's not, called Mary's Close.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the Mary, I wonder? Like Mary Carr?
I don't think so.
See too many Marys.
Yeah.
And also, I haven't come across
Edinburgh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I haven't come across a Mary, like,
forever.
Yeah.
Why did everyone stop naming their kid Mary?
Yeah, bring back Mary.
Okay, name your kid Mary.
I don't know.
For many people, a life of crime was way better than living in the slums of the city, where they would often catch illness and die. Mm-hmm. It was easy for the women of the 40 Elephants to shoplift, not only because of all of the secret pockets on their clothes, but during this time, modesty was very important in society. Mm-hmm. So clothing stores actually gave women more privacy away from staff members.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that allowed them to steal and escape without even being noticed. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And like today, you walk into a store and five people are like, do you need help with something?
Yeah.
It was also very common for shop staff to be hesitant to accuse assumed respectable wealthy customers of theft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, over time, many of the women in the 40 Elephants became well known to police and many of the wealthy shops that they were stealing from in the West End. Mm-hmm. And a few of them became so recognizable that just their presence around a store would cause an alarm.
Oh my God.
This awareness of stores is what drove the gang to spread their crime throughout the rest of London and into small rural towns as well. So they would even go into tiny ass towns, into like the general store, I guess. Or like, I don't know, the clothing store, and just steal whatever.
Yeah, because then they wouldn't be known there and...
Yeah.
Or like known as well, probably.
Yeah.
So like no alarm bells would be ringing.
While the 40 Elephants was well known in the late 1800s, their prime was during what's known as the interwar period. So this period of the 20th century is between November 1918 to September 1939, or from the end of World War I to the start of World War II. In between wars.
Yeah.
During this time, the gang went on a large-scale raid across the country. So they were going fucking everywhere now, stealing from small stores to major shopping centers. The 40 Elephants were so fearsome that they taxed smaller gangs to pay a portion of what they had stolen and would punish those who didn't follow their rules.
Right.
They had their own rules and laws that they followed and demanded that members be undoubtedly loyal to them. Mm-hmm. As leader, Alice Diamond ruled with an iron fist, so to speak, and had other right-hand members in addition to Maggie Hill, including a woman named Gertrude Scully and the Partridge Sisters. It's reported that over 70 direct members of the gang between 1920 and 1930 have been identified other than these women.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's super cool.
So like I said earlier, there's just people coming in and out all the time.
Yeah.
The women of the 40 Elephants weren't afraid to get dirty if needed. They would physically fight whoever they needed.
Oh my God.
Although they did prefer to stick to sneaking around and shoplifting.
Yeah.
Despite being the Victorian era, these women were heavily admired by the men in the Elephant and Castle gang for their organization and expertise in stealing. And mm-hmm. many of them, like I said, would be romantically involved with each other.
Cool.
So kind of back to Alice Diamond. She would retire from leading the 40 Elephants in the mid-1930s, and her right hand, Maggie Hill, took over leadership of the gang. Maggie would lead them only for a few years, when in 1939 she was arrested for blinding a policeman with a hat pin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That's pretty violent.
Yeah. So once
she... Hat pins, bring them back. Yeah. The best weapon.
Once she was released in 1943, she retired from her life of crime and was succeeded as the 40 Elephants by a woman named Shirley Pitts. Shirley had been taught to shoplift under Alice Diamond and other gang members. Like her mentor, she was well known to the police and newspapers, who nicknamed her Queen of the Shoplifters. Shirley would continue to be the gang's leader, apparently, until her death in 1992.
What?
But
that's so long.
But then there's later reports that the gang kind of fizzled out in the 50s.
But
that sentence could still be true, because even if they fizzled out, she would still be leader.
Yeah.
Until she died.
That's true.
Isn't that crazy, though?
That's so crazy. So the gang lasted a really long time.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm. When they weren't shoplifting in stores, members of the 40 Elephants would steal from wealthy men in the streets by creating a ruse. And this is how it went. One woman would approach a man and ask for directions, while other members would appear out of nowhere and accuse them of sexually assaulting them. Instead of causing a scene and also allowing the men to save their image, the men would just be like, here's all my shit. Like, I'll just give you whatever you want. Like, shut up.
Whoa. Yeah. That's kind of an evil scheme.
I know.
That's kind of fucked up. They were kind of
evil about it.
That's a little fucked.
If the man threatened to go to the police, the women would just pickpocket whatever they could out of the men's pockets and run away.
Holy shit.
The gang easily stole goods worth thousands of pounds, all earning enough to support their husbands if they were married. So many of the men that they were dating or married to while they were in the crime world, some of them were just stay-at-home husbands.
I love that. Yeah. How would they make money, though? They would sell the goods?
Yeah, so... Okay.
On the black market.
I'll talk about that in a moment.
Okay.
Also,
just so you know, Finnerty might stop by to grab her bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can cut that.
Now, you're probably wondering what happened to the stolen goods.
Yes. That's what I was just wondering.
I know. The clothing and items that were stolen were distributed throughout a well-organized network of street markets, traders, and pawnbrokers. Some stolen clothing items were sold to other clothing stores because they would change the silhouette and labels of the original designs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they would just alter it and resell it to the stores that they stole from.
Wait, that's so smart.
Yeah.
And also crazy.
I know. The 40 Elephants also worked with a network of fences, also known as movers. These people knowingly bought stolen items for the purpose of selling them and taking a percentage of the earnings.
Mm.
Often if a fence was arrested, they would use actual transaction ledgers that they had created to get out of doing prison time. Notably, a woman named Ada McDonald was arrested in 1910 as a suspected fence, but she pulled out her trusty ledger book to convince the police that the items she possessed were bought legitimately, and she was let go.
But you could just make it up.
Yeah, they did. But it's a ledger, so the police were like, oh, that's legit.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, so that's how they...
That's crazy.
That's how
the world was so different.
I know.
So different.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Into the 20th century, and with the rise of modernization, the gang had to follow the times with their crimes. They would end up buying fast cars for easy getaways to evade police when they were called. They also often used trains not only to travel to and from stores that they would hit, but to drop off suitcases for other members to fill and empty. So they were just transitioning things all the time between each other at different stations throughout the city.
Genius.
Over time, members would also start to blackmail people, mainly men that they would initiate an affair with. So they would be like, have an affair with these men and then be like, I'm gonna tell your wife. Give me all your money.
Honestly.
Make that bag.
Don't cheat on your wife.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, well, yeah. These are the consequences of your actions.
By the 1920s, many of the women began to imitate London's socialites, such as the Bright Young Things group. And so, as mentioned earlier, they were leading very extravagant lifestyles, and they were going to parties and clubs and spending their money, and they were like flappers, and they were living it up.
Cool.
And the gang remained active well throughout the 1930s and World War II until the 50s, when, like I said, there was kind of a sharp decline in activity.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that it's possible that the gang didn't fully just disappear in the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, they probably just went more underground.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. And they're probably still active.
True.
Because, like, that's such a long-standing syndicate from, like, 1878 to, like, 1950. And just for it to completely stop, I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is kind of where the research ended. And that's the story of the 40 Thieves, known as the 40 Elephants in London, England.
Wait, so the one who was alive until 1992 was Alice Diamond, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was just double checking that. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's really cool. Here's the thing. It's really cool.
Oh, no, her name was Shirley Pitt. She was the leader after Alice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's super cool. And also, obviously it's illegal.
Yeah.
Don't be a bad person. Also, I feel like gangs back in the day were pretty cool, but like, don't be in a gang.
Yeah.
Do not be in a gang.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. It's actually scary, like, how many young kids are in gangs.
Oh. Like,
it's really fucked up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yes, we're laughing and having fun and, like,
because it's a part of history.
Yeah, because we're talking about a historical gang. And yeah. I feel like it was very different
in the 1800s. Than now.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
most definitely. But yeah. That's kind of why I wanted to cover it, because it's so old and it's only women.
Yeah.
It's a full female crime family.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Which is, like, I'd never heard of that.
No, me neither. It's super cool. Because you mainly hear of, like, I don't know, the bigger, like, Italian mafia mob style, which I feel like is mainly men.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this, like, not very sad, kind of more lighter. Lighter episode for y'all.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or critiques, you can email us at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do that at
ghoulsocietypod.
Head over to TikTok and see some of Sarah's sick ass videos.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Tell I posted me. 4 videos this week on TikTok.
Yeah.
12 views.
I wonder if you've been shadow banned.
I have been completely shadow banned. I've been shadow banned before on a video, and I've had other videos take me out of it.
Yeah.
I posted 4 fucking videos this week.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. Emma's also really confused because she's never seen that. Like, she doesn't understand why my whole account and, like, no videos getting me out of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, everyone go watch my fucking TikTok.
Yeah, at?
Ghoul Society.
Ghoul Society.
Ghoul dot Society Pod.
Yeah, there we go.
Damn. Also, follow, subscribe to our YouTube, because I post little shorts on there. You can also listen to the podcast on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, go ahead and do that. And you never know, maybe I'll post a proper YouTube video one day.
Whoa, crazy.
I've been thinking about it. More long form content.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
So do that.
If you want to see our resources and trigger warnings, you can find those in each episode's description.
Mm-hmm.
And leave a review, a comment, follow us on all the things.
Please leave us a review on, like, Apple, Spotify.
Overcast. I don't know.
The other ones.
All the other ones that you listen to, I don't know.
Yeah, and also hello to our new listeners. I know there's quite a few of you over from my TikTok, so thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you so much. We love you all.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
I'm cutting that out. No comment.
I just elastic banned Sarah for being bad.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault. It literally is your fault.